Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Chicago.
Six ten in the morning, Lou Manfredini coming up here in a little bit. For those of you curious about a couple of the changes that have gone on, Nick DiGilio, who joined us every Monday and Friday to talk about movies and stuff, Nick, we're going to move Nick to Tuesdays and Thursdays. Because now that the show starts at 6, this is the beginning of the show. It's a little cramped at the top, so we don't want to cramp Nick.
Cramp his style, you mean?
So Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll talk about stuff like the movies. And Andrea yesterday saw Star Wars.
Yes, I finally saw it.
What do you think?
I absolutely loved it. Loved it. I liked it so much. I don't know if I was just being emotional. But at the end, I'm not going to say what happened, but I was crying. I don't know how you could help.
Didn't
you know,
Nick say he cried and he doesn't like Star Wars?
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
Of course, I shouldn't say that because Nick's a lunatic.
Of course, I cried when they put A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away, which is the first second of the movie.
Wow, that's your geek test. Yes.
Just, I thought.
Were you surprised that the new enemy to, what's it called?
Kylo Ren?
No, not that guy. Oh. Judge Judy. Were you surprised at the Judge Judy cameo?
No, but I was surprised at the Oprah cameo. You ruined that for
me. Well, what can I tell you? A lot of people didn't see that coming.
You ruined it big time.
And Wolf Blitzer being in charge of the stormtroopers surprised a lot of people. But that's what the helmets are for.
It was a weird role.
What's the matter, Dave?
Will you guys stop? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that's only three of the amazing cameos in the new Star Wars.
Right. Don't definitely.
Now, the most successful movie of all time. Yeah. I saw something, and this is something to bring up to Nick, but I saw something that surprised me, and I don't know why it surprised me, but am I the only human on the planet that didn't see Avatar?
I didn't see Avatar.
I didn't see Avatar.
So stupid.
Avatar.
It looked dumb.
Avatar was the number one movie of all time.
I can't believe that.
I can't believe, because it's a... awful. Oh,
but the weird thing is, and this is what the story was, why didn't a fan base with all the appropriate tchotchkes and, you know, I don't even know that Blue Man Group liked Avatar. It was their people. So Avatar didn't have this same cult craziness developed, and yet it made, you know, a ton of money.
It was insane. I think Avatar, wasn't that one of the first times that they used those the new computer graphics.
Yeah, there was a bunch of effects in it.
It's almost $1 billion. There.
But that's a good point because Star Wars, the marketing alone, I mean, you can go into the grocery store and there's Star Wars cereal. You can go into Bed Bath & Beyond.
Well, that's why we're
going
to have a museum here.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Glad you're excited.
So immediately, now this is the true geekdom, I immediately went, of course, to the internet and started reading the spoilers because I had seen it and, you know, I wasn't on a chat room. Per se, but I was
were
just,
you?
No. I was just reading what people were saying.
And?
I didn't join any groups or discussions,
Some
don't
people
worry.
Are really looking into it and divulging all this weird. My son, I was talking to him the other day, he's like, well, Mom, you know, the blah, 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 blah. I go, what are you talking about?
Well, Wendy Snyder.
Have him call me.
Discussion. Yeah, he's
call me.
Really into it.
Wendy Snyder's husband, one of the top Star Wars experts in the world.
Right.
And he has a podcast he does every week, which millions of geeks listen to.
Yes. It's very good, too.
So if you're really into Star Wars, check with Wendy after 10 o'clock, because this will shock you. I don't even know where you find his podcast, but most people do.
There were some recurring characters, of course, you know, some characters from the previous.
Like legendary Dodger broadcaster Vin Scully is back.
Yeah. You just keep giving everything away.
That's a surprise, too.
I couldn't believe when Richard Simmons showed up.
I thought that was expected, to be honest with you.
Nice outfit, too.
Yeah. He called himself the Millennium Falcon for a long time. A lot of people didn't know that.
But there were some characters who didn't show up that I thought, oh, where's... I shouldn't say it. I can't ruin it for those fans who haven't seen it.
But now you're really excited about talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, the movie's been out 3 weeks. Come on, Dave.
I want to talk to everybody about it. I want to see it again.
I haven't had time in the last 3 weeks to go see it.
My three-week-old granddaughter's seen it twice, okay?
Okay.
And by the way, she can't get her there on her own. She has to have people take her. So yeah. Come on.
Really?
Come on. Yeah. Sharon's on the phone. Sharon's the first caller. Good morning, Sharon. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Great.
Thanks for listening. What are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm listening to you. I generally just wake up around this time, click on the radio, and thought I'd call this morning.
I think you've already accomplished a lot today. I think you can take the rest of the day off.
Gotta go to work today.
Well, what do you do?
Oh, I work at an assisted living place and help the residents. Yeah.
Good for you. It's a fun place. A lot of good folks there.
Very, very good, yes. Enjoying it a lot.
What is the age range? Do you know off the top of your head?
Well, yeah, 65 and up.
My grandmother was in an assisted living facility till she was 100 and loved it.
Very good.
And she was not the oldest person there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
under 90s and such. So I would say that's kind of the upper range. Yeah.
I heard a really cool thing from a friend of mine. He recently got out of the business, but he was in the business of caring for the elderly in one of these highfalutin situations. Not like, you know, they're all highfalutin, but this was an upscale, crazy, amenity filled place for well-to-do seniors for the most part. But somebody brought him in, and he brought up this point to me, and I thought it was a cool way to put it. He said, when somebody gets to be 85 or 90 or even 80, in most cases they're retired. Most cases they're on to that latter stage of their life. And, yeah, they'd like you to talk to them, and they'd like you to listen to them, and they'd like you to know who they are now. But more importantly, they'd like you to know who they were.
And exactly.
For the rest of us to take the time to take an interest in people who are smarter than we are and know more than we do because they've been there and they've done that is really smart for us. But the rest of it is, it's just a matter of respect. To sit down with somebody older than you and find out who they were in the busiest, the alleged prime of their life to listen to them. I just thought it was a cool take on getting older.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that I love about that, getting to speak to the residents and finding all that out.
Yeah, I bet you leave smarter every day.
Up to debate.
Well, for being on, Kevin will give you everything he's willing to give you. But Kevin, you know, he could be a little grumpy at this hour. So, you know, sweet talk him. And also at ChevyDriveChicago.com, WGN Radio, Stainless Steel Travel Mug, and Papa Nicholas Coffee from Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers. Sharon, have a great weekend, but don't hang up. Hold on, okay?
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, at 6:21, we appear to have a full board of callers ready for this very popular segment on the show.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
It's the time of the show.
And let's see, I've got for you an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. For one of these fine callers, take control of your temperature in the air you breathe at AmericanWeathermakers.com. Let me go to Lou Manfredini. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, sir. I haven't seen you, so it's officially a Happy New Year from me.
Happy New Year.
And congratulations on your granddaughter.
Have you seen pictures?
I've seen pictures online, but I have not spoken to you, and I'm very happy for mom and dad, baby, and grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, Ross is back at work next week. He's going to be a mess.
Oh, yeah, right. He's like, wait a minute.
You know, he'd be doing.
Remember when? I'm sure that all of those on your staff remember when you got when after you have the baby,
yeah.
And you're only in the hospital for a couple days. They say, okay, bye bye.
Right.
And you're like, wait, we have to leave? Who's going to show us how to do all this stuff?
We were just talking to one of our production assistants, Haley, who just graduated from school and has to be a grown-up now.
Right.
And remember that transition? Well,
yeah.
That transition is a walk at the beach compared to here's a living, breathing human being. Keep it that
right.
way.
Right. Oh, gosh. Do you remember? Oh, my gosh. I was
scary
a nervous
stuff.
Wreck. Driving home, you're like a nervous wreck.
Yeah, 6 miles an hour.
That guy's 15 feet away from me.
Yeah, if you get behind somebody on the Kennedy going 6 miles an hour, it's a new dad.
It's a new dad or mom, right?
Yeah. Well, probably not a mom. You know, there is a genetic component to this, and I don't know if it's because they're the housing. But you know what I mean? I mean, there's a genetic relaxation component of some sort. Moms are just better prepared for this, and that's just
mm-hmm.
We were talking to Ross, really trying to, you know, comfort him before the baby came along, before Abigail was born. And Steve Alexander told him a story about how he took a nap in another bed in the room while his wife was in labor. And Dave actually asked the doctor for cold medicine.
No, I asked him to check my throat.
Oh, is that it?
I was concerned. I didn't want to give the baby strep.
And these are things moms don't do because we're idiots.
I'll give you a good one. One of our children, I can't remember which one. We were in the.
You should know their names, dude. You should memorize.
No, I can't remember which. I had four, so it's hard to remember. But in the middle of the delivery, the doctor says, Can I ask you a question about my roof? That is the God honest truth. And my wife said, "You're kidding me, right?"
Well, I was talking.
It was I was stunned, and of course I gave her advice.
Well, Amy was born 7 weeks premature. She's 7 weeks early.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But we had a really good situation overall, and there was a sort of a calm moment in between, and the doctor and I started talking about football. And, man, Maureen was so amused by that. She really thought that was great.
Did she say, focus?
I think it was an F word in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Not football?
Let me go to the...
That wasn't the word?
That wasn't the one I was thinking of. Let me go to the callers here. Mary standing by. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning.
What's your problem, Mary?
Squirrel.
You know, I was concerned that that might happen. Squirrels are on the loose, Lou, and this weekend's going to be cold. We're all going to be overrun by squirrels. And here's what they do. Tiny knock at your door. It's a squirrel. Be careful.
I thought that was the chipmunk.
No, that was the squirrel. Mary, are they all over the house?
They are. They are chewing my cedar siding through the siding, through the insulation, into the drywall of a bedroom.
Wow.
So what are we doing, Lou?
Well, it's tough this type of year, this time of year, because you can't use any kind of motion sensing sprinklers because obviously it's winter. There is a spray product called Critter Ritter, which is a cayenne pepper-based spray that is clear, but you can spray it on the areas where they're chewing, and they're not going to like this at all.
Well, you have to understand, this is on the second floor of the cedar-sided house.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this isn't on the basement door or something of that nature.
We're gonna need to go to a higher level of attack here, Lou.
The fact that there's not a lot of snow out there right now, you can either pop a ladder up next to that to spray it, or you can buy some aluminum screening that in a roll, say like a 3-foot roll, and that'll be probably 7 feet long. Unscrew that and then tack it up over the area loosely where it is. They won't be able to, they'll be able to grab the screen, but they won't be able to hang on it long enough to chew anything and get through the side. And there's obviously some reason they're trying to get in there to make a home. And unless you can stand out there with a hose and every time you see them spray them with a spray hose, you're going to have to do something as far as getting up on the side there and either spray it or hang this screening to try and get them to go somewhere else.
Isn't that what your kids are for? Or your nephews or your neighbor?
Are you talking to me or her?
Yeah, to you. To climb up spray the cayenne pepper spray.
If you've got a handyman in the area that could do something like that. But the fact is that it's going to get really cold next week. This will probably not be a problem, but they're trying to get in before that cold because they can probably sense that it's coming. So you have to do something while it's warm. Today it's in the 40s, early on. So if today's a possibility to get up there and do it, it would be a good time.
And that's why you've got to watch out for the tiny knock at the door. And then they know the squirrels are here. Texter, Lou, from the 630, our downstairs toilet whistles when you flush it. How do you fix it? I don't know that you fix it. That sounds like a real interesting, kind of special, quirky thing to the house when you sell it.
I wonder what the song it is. What song is it?
Well, if it's a toilet whistle while you work.
Right. So here's the easiest thing to do to try and fix it. It's because there's calcification on the fill valve. If you go to the valve that's coming out of the wall feeding the toilet and you turn the valve off half a turn, I bet the whistle goes away because you're going to slow the flow of the water going into that valve. If that doesn't work, what I will tell you is articulate the fill valve, take the lid off, flush the toilet, and then turn it on and off, turn it on and off, turn it on and off to try and loosen any sediment. And if that doesn't work, then the fill valve has to be replaced. But I bet if you slow the water down to it, it'll take a little longer for the toilet to fill, but the whistle will go away.
There's an easy fix. Make you look like a hero.
I know.
Let's go to line four, where Brian is standing by. Brian, what's your question for Lou?
Good morning, Lou. Nice for you to take my call. Lou, over the holidays, hot dishes were set on my dining room table, my wooden dining room table.
Oh.
Yeah. And you can see the stains. You really can't feel the burn, but you can see the stains. was curious. What
like, why, is it white?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I want you to go to the hardware store and buy a product called Howard's Restore a Finish, which is a wood amalgamator. And they make it in different colors, but if you just use the neutral, you're going to take some quadruple zero steel wool. That's a heat ring that you have there. And put some of this in a bowl. It's a petroleum-based product, so make sure you open up a window so it's well ventilated. And then with the grain, with light pressure, you're going to go back and forth over the entire surface of the table lightly, and then take a rag and wipe it away. It's going to just do almost like a facial to the top of this dining room table, and your dining room table will look fantastic. Wipe it away, let it dry, and the heat rings are gone.
Another fine suggestion, and again, the product is Howard's what?
Howard's Restore a Finish.
Restore a Finish. Helpful listener suggestion on the squirrels issue. Play a lot of Mexican music.
What? Well, can I tell you something? When I first started as Mr. Fix-It 20-some years ago and I was doing a presentation, some lady in the audience said she took the Spanish radio station and a clock radio because she had squirrels in the attic, put the radio up there and played the music, and they went away.
Why would that be?
Something about the trumpets.
Yeah, da 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 da.
That's what she said.
Well, that's
I mean, there's a chance that, you know, with the immigration issue, that they could be, you know, Spanish-speaking squirrels. I don't know. Maybe they like that.
You know what Trump would say about the squirrels?
Right, build a wall.
Build a beautiful wall all the way around your house, and then make the squirrels pay for it.
A beautiful wall, and the squirrels are going to pay for it.
That's it. That's it. Kev, handle Robert's...
He is something, isn't he?
He's really... That's the word.
He is something.
I got another F word.
Yeah. And it's not football.
Fun!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Robert, you hold on, and Lou will answer your question off the air, and we'll see you on TV in a few minutes and on the radio tomorrow.
Sir. Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. All the best. Thanks.
All right, you too.
Happy New Year. And we are back with the big story next on 720 WGN. And the Steve Cochran Show continues. Last night, President Obama's town hall on guns had the NRA be a no-show. And again, as somebody who believes in the Second Amendment, who has owned guns in the past and who has shot guns and believes in the Second Amendment, the NRA not showing up, I think, speaks for itself. It's a gutless move. And his spokesman, or possibly the head of the NRA, showed up on Fox later last night with Megyn Kelly, in an unchallenged format, as opposed to showing up with the president, and said, well, we were invited, but we were told we could only ask one question, and we expected to have a dialogue. Oh, okay, well, this is part of the problem. The presidency is more important to this country than the National Rifle Association. Mm-hmm. So you don't get to be on equal footing. It's not a town hall of the NRA. It's a town hall about guns in America.
Right.
And questions are screened at town hall, so the same questions aren't asked over and over again. It's the same thing President Bush has done, same thing President Reagan did back in the 80s. So the NRA's arguments are complete nonsense again. And frankly, the NRA continues to be not what it was formed to be, but an embarrassment to gun owners.
I agree. They should have sent a representative.
Ridiculous.
Hands down, not even to have someone there.
All right, so let's talk about something else here. What President Obama is proposing is not a cure. There is no immediate cure for this. So let's take that off the table. So for every argument that comes up that says, well, this isn't going to fix anything, this isn't going to fix everything, this is a step. It's not an anything. It's not an all or nothing. It's something needs to be done. So why did he have to take executive action? He took executive action. And by the way, I'm no fan of executive action. I think laws should be passed through Congress the way they're supposed to be passed. But every president going back to George Washington has used executive orders at different times. Roosevelt used hundreds in a time of war.
He used the most.
But President Obama is, the last time I looked, which is recently as a month ago, and I tweeted a chart out about this a couple of days ago, President Obama is somewhere just below the number that George W. Bush used.
And below Clinton.
And below Clinton. I believe maybe a little above Reagan. I'm not even sure. But it's not some outlandish number. So
I think it's 30-something.
Yeah, 37, 38, mm-hmm. Something like that. So while it's not a recommended way to establish rule in this country, the idea that President Obama invented this is also ridiculous. So getting back to the core argument here, it's not a cure, but it's something. Should the laws that are on the books be enforced? Of course they should. But that's a separate argument as well. And every time this comes up, there's this smoke cloud of yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Let's just break it down to what it is. What it is a possible, slightly more inconvenient situation for a legal gun owner to sell their legal gun to someone else.
Right.
Now, there was a great piece in the Wall Street Journal, it had to be a month or so ago, but it went through five things that are harder to buy than a gun.
Oh.
Sudafed.
Yeah, how about that?
Sudafed, you have to show, with the loopholes that exist,
your license.
You have to show your license and ID, mm-hmm. and you're put in a tracking database that is more significant than it would be for you to buy a gun. That's cold medicine. A credit check that goes into your wireless contract. So you go to get a new cell phone. The wireless contract you do does a credit check and a background check on you.
Mm-hmm.
That is more extensive than what it takes to buy a gun. And this one might be my favorite. Puppies.
How about that?
If you're going to adopt a puppy, the ASPCA advises you to be prepared. You got to be at least 21. You got to bring two forms of ID, a government-issued ID, a proof of address. But unlike gun buyers, you're also asked at almost every occasion to provide personal reference. And depending on the shelter that you're rescuing the dog from, there may be an in-home visit.
Yeah. Friends of mine adopted two dogs from a shelter in Ottawa. They went for an in-home visit, and then I got a phone call. She said, hi, and I won't say the organization, but asked me everything about them. Are they good people? Their background?
So it's harder to get a puppy than it is to get a gun.
Here's some interesting stats about all of this, too. And the president shouted out some of these stats yesterday, and they're very high. Between more than 80% of Americans, whether you own a gun or not, this includes gun owners, say that yes, there needs to be some kind of reform.
Yeah, of course.
Whether it's, you know, one law or 50. But that's 80%+.
Just do something. That's all this is. It's just an effort to do something. And I think Obama admitted last night, and this was part of his failures in not crafting a relationship with Congress, but he admitted last night this isn't going to get done on his watch. This is setting the stage for going forward. But he's doing what a president should do. He's trying to get something done. Lastly, and most importantly, because this goes to the absolute number one argument for the NRA and the embarrassing argument being put up by people like Ted Cruz. They're coming to get your guns. No, they're not. The United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. The Second Amendment of the Constitution is the law of the land. No one can legally take your gun away unless you've committed a crime with it and you're currently sitting in jail and it has to be confiscated legally. No one's coming to take your guns. It's a ridiculous argument. And in case you forgot your civics from school, for a constitutional amendment to be passed, 2/3 of Congress has to say this is something that the state should consider, and then 3/4 of state legislatures have to approve that proposal. It doesn't happen. So to review, your gun's not going to be taken away. This is not a cure. This is simply a step, and it's a very small step, a baby step, that might do something. Isn't that better than just saying don't do anything over and over again?
Well, yeah, because after this happens, and it's going to happen again, it keeps happening and happening and happening, and this was poignant, too, and we talked about this. After the last shooting in San Bernardino, President Obama said, and put Democrat and Republican aside. He said, this is enough. Because he has the same news conference every time.
Yeah. I thought one of the best quotes he's had in his entire time in the White House. Our thoughts and prayers aren't enough. They're not. 647. And everything I just told you, by the way, those are facts. That's not a partisan argument, Republican or Democrat. Those are facts as they stand. For all the things that you can poke holes in Obama on for the last 7 years, and there are plenty, this ain't one of them. It's a minor, minor step, and nobody is coming to take away your guns. It's 6:48. Steve Cochran Show. It is 6:53, and Elise Glink is standing by. I'm going to get to Elise in just a second here. One texter, a moment ago said, hey, Steve, you didn't give the full list. You left off at puppies, things that are harder to get than a gun in this country. A hunting or fishing license was another one that requires more effort and more sweat from you. to get than it does take to buy a gun with the loopholes that exist. I mentioned puppies, a wireless contract, cold medicine. What was the fifth?
TSA. Was it TSA PreCheck?
It was TSA PreCheck.
Yeah, because you have to get fingerprinted to cut in line at the airport.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So it's just silly. And again, if it comes down to what Obama is proposing here, or what he's putting forward here, causes a little extra hassle for you to get a gun from your cousin legally, or to buy a gun legally, and it's a little extra hassle, tough. Do it. Do it, because it could make a difference at some point.
And really, it's not even that much of a hassle for you. It's another step or two, and then they do the background check. So it's really not, you know, it's not like you're spending hours on paperwork.
And by the way, for you texters who are going, you're a fool, the Constitution means nothing, and any other shade of that, there is a measure, and the presidency is an institution. The person in the office is only there for a short period of time. If you hate Obama, you're going to take one side on this all day long. I don't hate Obama. I hate a lot of the things he's done. I think he's failed in the job probably more than he's succeeded. But he isn't wrong about this. It's 6:55. Elise Glink is standing by at, is it at Glink? Because I know the website is thinkglink.com. Is it at Glink?
At Glink on Twitter.
Well, you're making our life easy. And thinkglink.com is the website for, and give me the title I like to refer to you as. Can I call you my innovation expert, my innovation guru? What's it going to be?
Money, real estate, and business this morning, because there's so much going on with the stock market, and we've got the jobs report coming out, and people are worried about what the fourth quarter looked like economically. How about that?
So a nice light topic or two. Let's go first to the real estate aspect. This is something you know well. You've written many books about it.
I have. Interesting. Chicago really didn't improve value of homes this last quarter. Everybody else, the top 20 markets, everybody saw a lot of improvement, and Chicago was basically flat. And there's a lot of questions about why Chicago is flat when everybody else is saying, you know, prices jump up year over year at 4%, 5%, or if you're in Seattle or Portland, 16.9% year over year.
And you're the expert in this area, as I said. So what's your gut feel? Why?
My gut feel is that people are not earning as much in Chicago. On a relative basis, year over year, we're not seeing the same sort of increase in our incomes. And if it's not, you're not seeing it in the income, and people aren't earning more, they're not going to be able to pay more for houses. Plus, interest rates are going up.
And when interest rates go up, even if it's a fraction, people start to get a little skittish.
They do. And in fact, the Fed has sort of forecast that they might do as many as 4 interest rate rises this year, probably only of a quarter point each. But the fact that they have telegraphed that and the market has already priced in the first 2 of those, you know, means that interest rates are really going to be higher at the end of 2016, barring, of course, any number of things that are going on.
You a fan of the Fed, or it doesn't matter because we've got to deal with it either way?
Fed has done, if you look back over the last 20 years, there have definitely been some missteps. You know, Alan Greenspan has been famous for some of his missteps. But on the whole, I think the Fed has really saved the banking industry in this country. And while people may not like big banks, the fact is we need them every single day for what we do. So I think on whole they've done a pretty good job.
Elise, I know this has switched so often from 08 and 09, but do you see this as being a buyer's year or a year where you'd say, you know what, maybe you should rent for a year or two?
It's definitely not a renter's year. So we're seeing rents rise nationally and in Chicago sky high, sometimes as much as 7 to 10% year over year, which is really expensive for people when their incomes aren't going up. So I would say that renting is probably not as good as buying. Buying until interest rates, mortgage interest rates, 30-year gets to be about 5%, buying a home is probably going to be a better deal than renting.
Now, let's go big picture here. China's stock market is a mess. You tell me, but my understanding is that China's stock market is not our problem. It's the interconnection of the Chinese economy and our economy and the world economy that's the issue.
No, I think China's economy is the key issue, and how much it's slowing. You know, Beijing is always like fudging with the numbers, right? Think about it that way. It's a little bit like, I don't want to go there, but there's not enough time left to start talking about Chicago and
right and state.
Firms.
Yeah, and state for you.
But anyway, if you look at what's going on with China and its growth, you know, China's supposed to be a growth economy. It's supposed to be growing at 10, 15, 20% a year. when they announced that it was maybe going to grow 4% or 6% this year, that's a concern because people actually think it's probably growing 5% less than what they're announcing. So you're really looking at maybe even growth for China, which for a growth economy is devastating and scary for everybody around it.
So what do you make of all of the CNBC screaming ninnies and various other people running around saying the sky is falling? These are people with good economic track records who are seriously predicting by the end of January we're going to have a very ugly month.
Well, I think we could have a really ugly month. And if everybody remembers back to March of 2009 when the stock market was at, say, 6,600, we've tripled since then.
Right.
And I think that anybody would have a hard case to make that the economy is worth a tripling of the stock market in less than 10 years. I got to tell you, I don't think it's worth what it's been worth. And everybody's been looking for a drawback for a long time. There just needs to be a reason. So you've got oil at low prices, and you've got China kind of itchy, and you've got the Mideast blowing up. And North Korea, what are they doing? So that kind of international panic, is giving everybody a reason to take money off the table. So you might see a bad January, and then over time it's going to get better.
So relax. Don't start messing around with your 401k unless there's something really obviously wrong, and stop looking at your portfolio every hour.
Yeah, nobody who's listening to this show except for maybe like 0.00001% of people are day traders. Those people are listening to CNBC right now.
Right.
So let them go do what they do. And you should get up, take a shower, have a cup of coffee, and go to work.
You're the only person who's been discussing money all week that has made us feel better. I thank you for that.
Hey, it's Friday. You got to go into the weekend on a high.
Oh, so you're loaded. All right, well, that explains it.
Always.
ThankGlink.com, at Glink on Twitter and across your social medias. Elise Glink, thank you.
See you soon.
All right, there you go. Back with your news in a moment on 720 WGN. Just out of the news, one of the listeners texted me, and I do want to make this correction. Apparently, when you get a puppy, you don't have to have a five-day waiting period. You know, that cooling-off period where you want to get a puppy and then you have to think about it, that's a gun.
Oh, right.
All right, the five-day waiting period where you go, do I want a puppy? No, I don't want a puppy. Do I want a puppy? No, I don't want a puppy. Do I want a puppy? No, I don't want a puppy. I want a puppy.
Glad you cleared that up.
Listen, I've had, my dog has had some diarrhea that's been like a gun going off. So it is dangerous. There are some dangers with puppies, but...
Maybe a five-day waiting period for that anecdote at breakfast time.
Enjoy your bagel.
Just saying.
What kind of dog do you have?
I have a Labrador Retriever.
Oh, well, then you are in trouble, my friend. Yes, you are. Yeah. Take it back and make sure that there's about a five-foot area of safety around you until we're clear that you haven't been around your dog lately.
Right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
WGN Chicago. I have exciting news for Dave Ennett, but I'm not going to give him the good news unless, Dave, you are willing to do a little something for me.
Okay, this is always tricky, but what's that, Steve?
Little Red Riding Hood.
No, it's not that. Not that. Though my brother, Mickey, never remembers your name, but he does remember you as Little Red Riding Hood.
He does.
Yeah. He'll go through the roster of people on the show. How's Andrea? How's Kevin? How's everybody? How's Little Red Riding Hood?
You know, I should really take offense to that.
Nah.
I call that a good memory.
But I have an exciting story for Dave Ennett. Banner headline. It involves food, Chick-fil-A, and you. And you're going to be excited.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But here's the exchange rate for it. I want a super tough Blackhawks question to give away Blackhawks tickets today from you. So you find the question. We'll need an answer as well, by the way. You find the question, and then we'll throw it out to the listeners for Blackhawks tickets in a few minutes.
A super tough
Blackhawks super tough question. Super tough. We're not in the idiot division here. We want something that's tough. Good, tough, difficult, hard.
Okay.
Not non-Wikipedia Blackhawks question.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Here's the headline. Chick-fil-A saying bye-bye to coleslaw and hello to kale.
Yes.
Oh,
Chick-fil-A.
What the hell's going on out here?
Nasty. Wow.
Move over, coleslaw. A superfood is moving into Chick-fil-A, says the Chicago Tribune. Chick-fil-A is taking coleslaw off the menu and bringing kale and broccolini salad starting January 18th.
That sounds great.
Broccolini.
That was Dave's name when he was a stripper.
I love broccoli.
All right, to the center stage. Give it up for broccolini.
man. So they're pretty killing.
The side is tossed in a lovely maple vinaigrette and topped with dried sour cherries and served with a blend of roasted walnuts, almonds, or and pecans. Or you could just order a chicken sandwich. I mean, you're at Chick-fil-A.
Right.
So,
but who wouldn't rather have that than coleslaw?
Well, I'm not a coleslaw fan either.
I don't like coleslaw either.
Steve, yeah. we'll be able to all try this. Maybe not me because it's still considered fast food. But I actually set this up with Chick-fil-A yesterday. They'll be bringing us this on January 18th.
Right. Dave, listen,
way to go,
look how happy he is about a food drop off.
I'll tell you what.
Well, they'll also be bringing the good stuff. You know, like the chicken sandwiches.
Right. Right.
For the normal people?
Yeah.
You can't have one, Kevin.
Mike's on his fast food band.
Yeah. They have.
By the way, how's everybody doing with their bands? You're doing great because you're doing the Seattle Sun.
Love it. I think I lost 2 pounds.
I haven't had chocolate since the beginning of the year. Dave?
I've had no wine.
Before it's time.
Mary?
Huh? No, I've been good. I just had chocolate in my cookies, that's all.
Okay, well, that counts.
No, it does not.
That counts.
Is that gonna be,
chocolate chip cookies.
Is that going to be out of context or what?
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Yeah, I've had a chocolate chip cookie, and I'm proud of it. I am not giving up cookies.
I'm Mary, and I cheated on my diet.
For people that don't know Mary, she's in fabulous shape. She works out every day.
Yeah, you know what? That's why I don't understand why I have to be a part of this.
Well, you have to give
but
up something.
I'm a
something.
Team player.
Yeah, you have to give up something just to share in the hurt.
I did. I gave up the candy. And chocolate. I'm not eating chocolate kisses, you know, stuff like that.
It is funny, though, because Mary, remember you said to me she had a little baggie in her purse, and she said, see, I do keep candy. And it looked like one of those little, it looked like that baggie been in your purse since the inception of purses.
Yeah, I just add to it.
The bags look like a drug dealer. You look like you're carrying meth around.
My Starburst and my
brightly colored meth.
Her Werther's.
No, not Werther's. Ugh, no.
No, chocolate. This is good stuff. But you know how difficult it is to be on a no candy the situation here in this building?
It is tough.
And every you go upstairs, first you walk by 14 candy bowls just trying to get to the office.
Yeah.
Did you guys eat my brownies today? I brought the brownies in for you. You can go off the diet for those.
I can't.
Come on. I can't do it.
I said no chocolate.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's not candy. It's a brownie.
We stick to our diet.
Yeah, but see, I said no chocolate. Brownies, definitely chocolate.
Well, so no one's eating them downstairs, so better bring them back up here in the newsroom. Someone will eat
them. They look great.
They do look fabulous. It's killing me. It's 7:18. I got to get a texter question for you in just a second. Before we get to that, let's get to that traffic trouble spots update from Miss Brownie America for 1991, 2, and 3. She still has the sash. It's Mary Vandeville.
What? Oh, the sash. Mm-hmm. The stash. Okay.
Here come the Hawks. 7:23. We'll get to the texter question in a second, but let's go live to Dave Ennett now, sports director for 720 WGN, major sports figure in Chicago, now in his fifth decade of broadcasting sports and doing play-by-play.
Not quite, but yeah, I guess probably.
Getting closer.
Yeah.
All right, so you have come up with a question. Kevin, will we go with caller 720?
Why don't we stick with 7, Steve? Caller 7?
You comfortable with 7?
I'm okay with 7,
a little more efficient.
I'm going to leave this up to Andrea. You comfortable with 7?
I'm comfortable with 7,
Thanks, AD.
You bet.
Okay. Caller 7 with the correct answer to this. Am I right about this? It's an Artemi Panarin theme?
Well, it is. That's, I guess, what made me think of this question. Now, you asked for a tough question.
Yeah.
Blackhawks fans will probably know the answer.
Okay.
I don't think it's that easy to Wikipedia, but it is something that I think Hawks fans may know.
If you really want to play fair, no one gets to use their computer.
Right. Or your smartphone.
Or your smartphone. I know in the honor system, nobody would cheat just to get Hawks tickets.
Just to get Hawks tickets? No way.
That's
good Hawks tickets.
Because I trust you guys, and I'm willing to wait that bet. All right. So what's the question?
Okay. So Artemi Panarin leading all rookie scorers in the National Hockey League. He's got 15 goals now. He leads in goals, assists, and points.
15 goals, and we're barely over midway.
We just passed the midway point of the season. So,
that's great.
Who holds the Blackhawks single-season rookie...
John McDonough!
Who holds the Blackhawks single-season rookie goal-scoring record, and how many did he score?
Well, that's good. That's good. Who is the all-time leader, the guy that has that record? Is it a guy? It's a man?
Yes, he played for the Blackhawks.
All right, so it's a male.
It's a hint.
It's a male. We know that. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he has a puck in his pants, but this individual has the all-time rookie record for
goals.
And how many?
And how many did he score?
Got it. And starting with caller 7, Kev. Caller 7 at 312-981-7200. Mary, do you talk in your sleep?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Do you think
unless I'm having a bad dream sometime.
Your husband, Steve, has never said you talk in your sleep?
He says I, like, mumble if I'm having a bad dream.
Sure. Everybody does that.
Yeah, yeah.
Andre, do you talk in your sleep?
I don't think I do.
Dave, you look like a sleep talker to me from way back. Do you talk in your sleep?
I don't talk in my sleep, no.
Do you text?
I announce.
I announce. He does a broadcast.
I'll break into
a game. Going into active REM? Me.
Do you do like a best of? Too. Is it like a best of reel from calls in the past for you?
Yes.
Is that what you do?
Sometimes.
Okay. I have a good friend of mine, and I'm told I don't talk in my sleep, though I do make other noises. But a really good friend of mine, this goes back, I don't know, to the 80s, I guess, who talked in his sleep constantly, and his wife would encourage it because it was hilarious. And one night, he sat up in bed and tried to order Kentucky Fried Chicken by dialing a touchtone phone on her back.
Sure, it wasn't Kevin. Wait a minute.
And first things first, we know Kentucky Fried Chicken doesn't do phone orders.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, please. So from BuzzFeed, Lindsay Stamus and Aiden Hales have this kind of thing going on as well. Aiden talks in his sleep, and Lindsay texts him the next day when he's at work what he said last night.
Oh.
So apparently she woke up to this. It's deeper than that, more vibey. And the wife says, what? It's more vibey. It's got more vibration. She says, what does? My guy stuff. My guy stuff. That's right, his guy stuff. Here's another one. Asked the person I sleep with who sleep talks what gnomes were. His reply was, little elves in galoshes.
Galoshes?
Little tiny elves in galoshes. See, when you're sleeping, you can get goofy, and there's a million things going on in your head that don't relate to, you know, the person sitting next to you. Like this, the wife or the girlfriend, in this case, Lindsay, says to the guy, what? And he says, that feels good. She thought he was having a sex dream. She said, what feels good? And he sleep talks at the feeling. She says, what feeling? And he goes, being Belgian and drawing up important stuff on the map.
I like that guy.
So apparently you're some Belgian war hero. So here's your texter question. What's the weirdest thing you ever heard anybody say in their sleep? And the funny thing about this is I don't know if we'll be able to get any of these answers on the air.
Clean it up, maybe.
What's the weirdest thing someone's ever mumbled in their sleep while you were laying next to them? Or trying to get out? Trying to find an escape? Texter number is 312-981-7200. Again, it's 312-981-7200. And we'll get to those texts as time allows throughout the rest of the show. First, it's Tom on the Steve Cochran Show. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Doing good.
All right, Tom. The question, Dave, is what?
Question is, Artemi Panarin has 15 goals in his rookie season. Who holds the Blackhawks' single-season rookie goal-scoring record, and how many?
And, Tom, as always, with every contest on the show, if you're incorrect, you have to send something free to me from your house.
Okay.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Steve Larmer.
Dave?
And how many?
43.
43, is that right?
43 goals in the 1982-83 season.
43?
How about that?
That's not easy to catch, even if you're at 15 at the midway point.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, well, he was playing next to Savard and Secord.
That didn't hurt, did it? That didn't hurt a bit. Nice job by you. We have tickets, Kevin. The tickets are for which game?
This would be for the 10th, which is...
That's Buffalo Sunday, right?
Against Colorado on Sunday.
That's my point. It's Colorado on Sunday.
Yeah, and Tom has now entered to win 4-season tickets for next year, courtesy of 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, 4 Seasons. You can go online, 4SeasonsHeatingCooling.com, or on Facebook.
We'll come back with your big story in a moment. 729. This is 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton. Hank is a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. We'll go through, David, the weekend's NFL playoff lineup with the Hampster in just a moment. The people texting in at 312-981-7200 about things they've heard people say in their sleep, pretty funny. We'll get to a bunch of those coming up as well. My concern is that Dan Hampton joins us now. Hamp, my concern is if I talk in my sleep, I might confess.
I used to say, make a tackle, will you?
Somebody hit somebody. That would be disturbing in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it would. Hey, listen, you know, I do have to say that, as you know, this is, the part of the year that that all football players, you know, this is the quest for the Holy Grail, and unfortunately, one more year the Bears are not involved in it. But
right.
Hey, whether they like it or not, the playoffs start tomorrow.
It's an interesting lineup. Why don't we start with Minnesota, Dave? I think the temperature, Dave Ennett, in Minnesota tomorrow is going to be 114 below zero. And, Hap, you said something sort of casually a few weeks ago that I think people like me don't fully get, and that is at the highest level of the game, obviously there's exceptions, the Ice Bowl and different things, but if you're ready to play, nobody's thinking about the cold, or at least nobody that came to play is thinking about the cold. Is that fair?
Well, it is. And, you know, you say, well, how can you not think about it when it's 1 degree or windshield of 10 below? You know, the focus of it is such that, hey, you know, they give you shirts and clothes to wear, and then you have to decide exactly what, you know, you think is necessary. But, you know, the thing that most people don't realize, and I've said this repeatedly, I feel bad for the people in the stands, because if we can stop somebody on third down, we get to come off the field and there's a heater over there and we get to stand in front of it. But, you know, those folks in the stands, they're up there for a long time with no heater. So,
and sitting, they're sitting and they're not moving around. And you're right. That's why people get.
I would tell everybody, don't say one dadgum word. Think about those guys up there, and they're paying to be here. We're getting paid. So, you know, I'm not worried about the cold. And I'll tell you this. Over the years when I played, there were some really, really brutally cold games. But when it's all said and done, you know, you go on. You play, and next thing you know, it's over, and, you know, you either win or lose. And so anybody thinking about the cold, they're trying to figure out, you know, how to make an excuse if they lose.
Dave, you're mostly concerned about the broadcasters being cold. Is that right?
Well, no, not really. I mean, yeah, I guess maybe. But you know what?
7 degrees, by the way, in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm going to be there tomorrow. I know the forecast is for very cold weather. But I've always wondered, Hamp, guys who come out for the pregame warmups, and you had some teammates who did this, come out without sleeves for the pregame warmups. Is that an intimidation method, or is it to acclimate themselves to the cold at that point?
Nah, a little bit of both. You know, hey, look, we decided years ago, you know, the Steelers were the great team of the 70s. And a lot of what they did, quite honestly, we wanted to emulate. You know, the no sleeves, because as a defensive lineman, the more clothy exposed areas is the more spots where the offensive lineman can grab you. So it's a detriment to wear, you know, long sleeves, the baggy jersey. So, I mean, that was by design, and we didn't care if it was cold. But you know that, I mean, you're not brain dead. You have feelings. You can tell that it's pretty cold. I got to tell you, I never cease to be amazed at how well quarterbacks can throw the ball when they can't feel their fingers. I mean,
that's why the big hands are so important, right? I mean, you can't have a small-handed guy in a cold football.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but hey, Doug Flutie, he was dead in the water before we even started the playoff game. You know, I mean, he couldn't hold on to the ball. I do know this, that, you know, we're talking about the cold and all that, but like I said, you're only out there and exposed for, you know, certain periods of time, and it's amazing how well the teams do actually play despite the conditions.
Does it hurt more when you're hit in cold weather?
Nah, you're kind of numb. You know, and here's the one bad thing. You know, when you're playing against these teams that like to sit over the ball and you got your hand, you know, back in the day down in the cold mud, I mean, it's freezing, and, you know, I didn't like that so much when you got to stay in your stance a long time. But all in all, hey, the show must go on, and, you know, they're talking about that Minnesota Seattle game. It's not going to be warm in Cincinnati where Pittsburgh's got to play either.
All right, so let's go through it here. Vikings are hosting the Seahawks. Seahawks 10-6, Vikings 11-5. Seahawks a hotter team, but the Vikings have been playing pretty well too. Who do you like?
I think the Seahawks are the most dangerous team in the NFC for a lot of reasons. 2 weeks ago, I thought Arizona could be the team that eventuates. You know, I know Carolina. We'll talk about them next week, but Seattle went into Arizona and just took them apart at the seams. So, that's after Arizona killed Green Bay. So, I mean, you know, this, you know, begat. You got to think right now Seattle is a team nobody wants to play. And Teddy Bridgewater, you know, for whatever you want to say he is or could be, he threw the ball for 99 yards last week when they beat the Packers. I don't think that's going to be enough against Seattle.
Yeah, and I like Seattle too. Dave, you the same?
Yeah. Yeah, same. I mean, I just don't think anyone wants to play the Seahawks right now, including Carolina. I mean, Carolina's hoping they have a shot at them, but I don't think anybody wants to go against them.
Bengals are hosting the Steelers without their starter or with their starting quarterback. What do we know about that, Dave?
Well, Andy Dalton has been out. They've been going with McCarron, and Dalton did have the cast taken off this week. So, I mean, he's still going to be, they're still saying he's going to be a backup right hand, but I got to think that if they get in any trouble with McCarron, that Dalton's going to be in there.
He'll have to have at least another week of working that thumb to get it where he can hold on to the ball. It's going to be a ways off. It's all about A.J. McCarron. But in an abstract way, that could be good for Cincinnati because Andy Dalton has played pretty well over the last 4 years. They get in the playoffs, and he has a quarterback rating of about 6. So they don't have to worry about Andy Dalton losing the game for him. A.J. McCarron, who has been pretty good in spots this year. I know I watched, he had a couple of wins. He was very impressive against the Broncos in Denver in the first half. So the Bengals in a roundabout way are like, hey, we're not really crying and, you know, that we don't have Dalton. They're happy with what they got. They've got a running game with Bernardi and Jeremy Hill. They've got some great receivers. They think that they can match up well. But everybody knows that when Big Ben Roethlisberger gets hot in the postseason, it's lights out. So we'll see who is able to play the better defense. Cincinnati's defense is ranked better, but for whatever reason, the Steelers always seem to match up pretty well in the playoffs with whoever they play, and I'm picking the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I am as well, and I was surprised to see this stat. Roethlisberger has thrown the ball on average more times than any other quarterback in football this year.
Well, a lot of that is by necessity. You know, they lost their great running back. I think it was week 2 or 3. He was suspended. Then he came back, and then he was hurt. And then D'Angelo Williams was hurt 3 weeks ago. So everything has been, you know, about what he can do throwing the ball through the air. So if D'Angelo Williams is back and capable, he could give him a little bit more balance.
Yeah, he's missed practice last couple of days. I'm going to differ with you guys.
You're going Bengals?
I'm going to.
What about those great Steeler wideouts? Huh?
Well,
we'd take all three of those.
I would take any of them. But I think, and even though Dalton hasn't been ruled out, doesn't look like he's going to play, but I still think the Bengals at home.
We'll come back, talk about the Chiefs and the Texans and the Packers and the Redskins. More with Hamp coming up on 720 WGN. State Showcase Studio. This is Steve Cochran on show number 561. The Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton, joins us. And, let's move to the other AFC game, the Chiefs and the Texans. I don't know if we ever talked about this, maybe other than the old Eagles team playing the Bears, but where are you with Andy Reid as a head coach?
you know, it's very interesting this year. They opened the season, they beat the Houston Texans. Then they lose five in a row, including one against the Bears, where Jamal Charles, their terrific running back, is lost for the season. But then, and we saw a number of coaches fired this year for going 1-5, and like Ken Wisenhunt and Joe Philbin. But guess what? They stayed the course, and they've won 10 in a row now. And Hub Arcus told me yesterday that he voted for Ron Rivera, Coach of the Year, but just a scant degree above the job that Andy Reid did.
Really?
As far as his estimation. So, yeah, Andy Reid is one of the really, really great coaches in the NFL, and nobody really talks about him anymore because, for whatever reason, Kansas City just does not seem to be able to win a playoff game.
And Houston, you talk about a team that gets hard to figure out. You know, all the focus is on J.J. Watt for obvious reasons. You know, one of the most exciting players of this generation. But I don't know what to make of the Texans. I got to go Chiefs here.
A lot of people are. For whatever, I'm taking the Texans for just home field advantage. Look, the reason that a lot of people don't really, you know, consider them much of a threat is they lost their top two quarterbacks and their running back. So, you know, they're playing with a bunch of fill-in guys on offense. But their defense, it's still, you know, one of the top three in football. I think they're ranked third. And they've got a pass rush. And I know Alex Smith is the all-time, you know, great caretaker for an offense. I don't think it's going to be enough. I'm taking the Houston Texans.
How about you, Davin?
I'm going to go with Kansas City.
Have you guys seen the Andy Reid punt, pass, and kick video?
I have. It's hysterical, isn't it?
It's tremendous. And if you weren't playing the oboe or the tuba, or what'd you play in the band? I forgot.
The tuba.
Now, if you were playing the saxophone in the band and you had been in that pump, pass, and kick thing, you would have looked the same way. Andy Reid looks like he dressed up in his son's football gear and went out with the other 12-year-olds. I'm telling you, this is must-see video. Just search Andy Reid pump, pass, and kick, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's very funny.
By the way, Andy Reid was one of the coaches that Kaz had when he was in college at BYU. So he told me about that long ago, and we've laughed about it for a long time.
All right, let's go to the Packers. Packers and the Redskins. Look, this game's way more interesting than it probably would have been because the Packers are trending down and the Redskins are trending up.
Who would have thunk in September that the hottest quarterback in football would be Kirk Cousins in this game, and maybe the guy struggling the most in football would be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, good point.
So, I mean, you talk about, you know, through the looking glass, upside-down world. Okay, you can say what you want. I saw the Redskins, and I was on the sidelines. I watched them play. And they, you know, the Bears were very uninspired. And another reason why, you know, I was screaming, you know, hey, John Fox, you know, you're not getting all these passes. You need to, this is a game you should be able to match up and you know, your team assert itself and win. And, well, it didn't happen. I'm not a big fan of the Redskins. I just think they're a solid team, not even a good one. And I think for whatever reason, as hot as the Packers were the first 6 weeks of the season, there's got to be a reason why they were 6-0 at one point. I think somehow, some way, maybe Aaron Rodgers can find it again. I'm going with Green Bay.
But, you know, I think losing that game at home to Minnesota, that only adds to the doubt surrounding the Packers going into Washington. And I'm with you, Hamp. I mean, I look at Washington's record. It helped them a lot to play in the NFC East this year. I mean, the whole division was not good. But I think that playing at home, and I think with the doubts surrounding Green Bay, and I know that this may go against logic and common sense, I'm going with Washington.
So am I. I think this is your upset special of the weekend, and they've had a great defense all season, and now they literally have a great quarterback. He may never be heard from again. This may be a one-and-done for Kirk Cousins, or he may go on a long run.
I don't think
but
so.
But he is really good right now. And, Hamp, have you ever seen a quarterback with confidence that wasn't able to light it up? I don't think so.
Well, and see, that's the thing. And a lot of kids today never heard of Sonny Jurgensen, but he was the last the last Redskin quarterback to lead the NFL in passer completion percentage, which is also important today in the NFL. So, yeah, like I said, he's the hottest quarterback in the game. Can he continue in the playoffs, or will he have an issue and kind of make a spot on the field?
Interesting.
Are you guys on Sunday?
No, we're not on. I'll be ensconced in the Hamp Cave watching this lineup of NFL games. Like I said, hey.
By the way, the Hamp Cave with special reinforced furniture.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. You know, you go through the preseason to earn the right to play in the regular season, to earn the right to play in the postseason. And, yeah, well, at least they get to watch somebody play in the playoff.
Hamp, real quick, what was your take on the dismissal of Lovie Smith in Tampa?
Yeah, weird deal.
You know, and see, this is the wheel of life and the karma. Back in 2007, when Ron Rivera was on the plane going to San Diego to audition and interview for the head coaching job, Lovie dismissed him. And the reason was he was scared that if the coordinators become too good, it would be too convenient to let him go at some point. So he was scared of a coup, and he got rid of Ron Rivera. Well, unfortunately for Lovie, he did not ever suspect this, and somehow Jason Light, the GM, and Dirk Cutter, the offensive coordinator, have now, in some mysterious way, created this situation where Lovie was fired on Tuesday night after conducting the exit interviews with the entire team. So it looks like what he was fearing 8 years ago has now come to fruition, and it doesn't make it right. It's just, hey, unfortunately, sometimes karma's a you-know-what.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great explanation. All right, buddy, all the best. Enjoy the games. We'll talk Monday.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, that's Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. One of the best coaches in the game is Coach Chris Collins from your Northwestern Wildcats. And what happens when you're coaching a great program on the rise at a great school? You start filling the building. And, Dave, you're telling me that the crowds are hot. You're getting big crowds now.
Yeah, I thought the last two games against Maryland and Ohio State been about the best crowds I can remember, especially Saturday night against Maryland. Number three team in the country now, and they came in, and place was packed to the rafters. It was in a great atmosphere.
And Pat Foley, to borrow a phrase from Pat and twist it a little, you may not have liked the outcome, but it was fun while it lasted, and you know that's going to change. Chris Collins joins us now. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Going great. Congratulations. I know you're not happy about the last two games, but congratulations on a great start.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a really good year so far. We had a little bump in the road this week, played a couple good teams, and came up on the short end, but been really happy about the way we've been playing, and hopefully we can keep it going as we head here into the Big Ten.
Are you noticing the same thing Dave and I were just talking about, a difference in the buzz with the crowds?
I tell you, it's been awesome. You know, I told Dave the other day, and he's been around a lot longer than I, but when I first got the job and you kind of walk through the building sometimes when it's dark and you daydream and you let your mind wander. And, you know, when I was first here in an empty Welsh Ryan, you know, what I dreamed of for the environments and the crowds and what we wanted to build was exactly what's happened the last two home games. The place has been packed. The energy has been off the charts. The students have been there, and it's been great. I mean, it's been a really good college basketball environment, and something I'm really proud about and excited about, and hopefully we can keep it going with our fan base.
One of the unique challenges you have, you had it at Duke as an assistant, and you've got it here, is you got a lot of really bright kids who have some very difficult programs that they're involved with in regards to their studies at school, so they can't focus on basketball 24/7. And even though they're really bright kids, all kids need to be told don't rationalize too much, a win or a loss. So how do you keep these bright kids on the right track after a couple of tough games and go, we're the team and the for the whole run here? This is what you said, a little bump in the road. What do you have to say to them?
Yeah, I think you have to keep it. You know, you can't overreact too much by one or two games. It's all such a long season. Our conference season is 18 games. There's so many ebbs and flows. Teams that play well, you get on a run. Maybe you win four or five, or even, you know, hopefully even more than that. But you know, there's going to be a stretch where you have a week where you lose a couple, because we play great competition in our conference. The Big Ten is stacked. Every game is a really tough game. And, you know, we just came up short the last couple of nights, played two really good teams that are going to be, you know, Maryland has a chance to win the whole thing in March. I mean, they're that good. And Ohio State is a great program as well. So we just try to keep it in perspective. We try to keep moving forward, keep working, not stray too much from what we do, and try to focus on our strengths and keep their confidence up, because it's, like you said, if you allow one or two games to really knock you back, then you can go into a tailspin, and before you know it, you know, it can blow up your season. So we're excited about, we had to Minneapolis today to play the Gophers tomorrow, and looking forward to getting back out there and hopefully getting back on the winning track.
Coach, I know the question that all your fans would love me to ask you, and I don't know if you have an answer for it yet, but you've been playing the last four games without your 7-foot senior center, Alex Ola. How long until we see Ola back out there?
Hopefully sooner rather than later. These last two games, I think, has really shown the importance of what he brings to the team. And, you know, that's what I've been really most excited about, too, this year is, right before the season, one of our best players, Vic Law, had to go under the knife and have get a repaired labrum in his shoulder. He's missed the whole season. We expected him to be one of our best players this year. Alex Bola, you know, has been dealing with a stress fracture in his foot. Our other 6'10 center, Joey Van Zegren, has missed four or five games with a stress fracture in his foot. And our guys have just hung in there and kept plugging away and finding a way to win, even though we've been missing key guys. But Alex will be out tomorrow. He won't be back, but he's progressing great. He's really working on his rehab. He's feeling better. And, you know, hopefully in the near future, we don't have an exact timeline, but, you know, I see him really getting closer to being out there, which will be great for our team.
Dave, you're going to Minnesota today as well.
Yeah, I'll go with the team.
Yeah.
And it's a great, you know, it's a great old gym up there, Williams Arena. You've been there, I'm sure, yeah. Steve, from your days up there.
Right.
And the Wildcats won up there last year. So hopefully, and they've played well on the road, Chris. I mean, that's been one thing about this team.
Yeah, our guys have done a good job. It's, you know, we've lost the last two home games, but really, you know, we've played well at home early in the season, and then I feel like our play is translated. We haven't been one of these teams that, you know, plays great at home and then goes on the road, and we're a completely different team. I think we, no matter where we've played, home, road, neutral, we've stayed pretty consistent to who we are, and you know, guys haven't been rattled by the atmospheres, which can be a big thing in our conference, because everywhere you go is a great place to play with a great environment.
I'll tell you the same thing I tell Coach Q all the time, and I'm standing by. You have my cell number, Coach, if you need to call me, you know, seeing a particular defense that maybe is confusing or whatever, you just call me.
Yeah, I mean, if I need a guy to come in and make a big three late, or I really saw if we have the lead in the last minute, if I need somebody to ice the game away with free throws, you know, I'm going right to you. You know, the form is there, the confidence is there, and, you know, we may need to get a jersey. Well, yeah, I gave you your jersey, so hopefully
yeah,
you still have it.
I do, a cocky swagger, I think is what you were looking for, that kind of cocky swagger. And it is okay to bring a chair. My knees aren't great. Bring a chair out to sit between free throws and rest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything in the rule book that prohibits that, but I think you should be all right. I mean, as long as you can do that with that swagger, I think we'll be all good.
Look how he sits. He's so cocky. Coach, have fun this weekend and enjoy 7 degrees in Minneapolis.
Yeah, always great catching up with you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Coach Collins, Coach_Collins. We have a lot of him through the tournament as he's available and as we have time on the show. But we're very proud partners in Northwestern, and that continues. A bunch of texts here just at a show business. The text question this morning, things you've heard someone say while they were sleeping.
This is too funny.
Okay. 6 for y'all. I went to tell my mom good night. She was napping. She responded by saying, "Oh, Henry," and then she punched me in the face. Can you imagine that? You're like leaning down to kiss your mom goodbye or good night or whatever, and she smacks you. 312, it was summer. My husband wanted me to close the window because the giraffe outside might climb in and crawl up my butt.
Okay, weird on so many different levels.
224, Carl says his wife asked her, or asked in her sleep, are there any other Ricans outside of Puerto Ricans?
Oh. Again, it's all said in sleep.
815, found my husband standing in a bathroom staring at the shower. I said, what are you doing? He said, somebody move the bed.
Wait, that's real. That's us every morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
From the 815, Steve, my fiance yells in his sleep. Not just yells. He yells.
Oh.
Most amazing part about that text is that that's the fiance. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The fact that this woman is signing up for the full plan.
Yeah.
Good for her, man.
Not still anymore. Time to get out.
Not anymore.
That's love.
Yeah.
From the 815, I always go to sleep before my husband, and he often says when he comes to bed that I start laughing in my sleep. He's getting a bit of a complex.
I would too.
You're like undressing for bed, and the woman's going, oh, my God.
It's like the Friends episode when Joey starts rubbing Rachel's butt, and she starts laughing,
uh-huh.
Takes his hand away.
From the 630, my 5-year-old son in a deep sleep cried out, but I don't want to go to the Lady Gaga concert. He's never been to a concert. 815, sleep talk, the quarter is under the flower pot.
Oh,
it's like, unless
you're
sleeping with a CIA agent and that's code, I don't know. And then there's this from the 224, my daughter once yelled in her sleep, oh, S word, Shoney's is closed.
Oh.
She's 10.
I was going to say, I thought she was going to say she's 3.
Sleep cursing. There you go. I got a bunch of these coming in. 312-91-7200. Text in what you've heard in your sleep. It's 825. Let's do the showbiz.
This is it. This is it. This is lying with the one you get. It's
probably one of my favorite TV themes.
That's a great theme.
Of all time. One day at a time.
Yeah, one day at a time. Right?
Pat Harrington, who played Schneider, the handyman, on One Day at a Time, passed away yesterday, surrounded by his family and friends, and was 86 years old.
Wow, I didn't know he was old.
Yeah, just a great actor, a great guy.
Well, that's one of the great characters. Pat Harrington was like Kramer before Kramer, because he would just walk into the apartment, because he always had a key, and he'd fix stuff, right, Mary?
Yeah, but he walked into an apartment with 3 women.
Yeah,
just walked in, hey.
It was the 70s, it was legal.
Creepy,
yeah, he
you know?
Could, it was Schneider.
Yeah, now that you think about it, man.
So Pat Harrington passing away, surrounded by family and friends, he will surely be missed. Celebrity, you know what? And here he's not so much a character actor, but just you know, Linda Carter tweeting this morning how much she's going to miss him. I don't want to say, you know, many of the veteran actors tweeting how much they're going to miss Schneider. So.
Like the 70s and 80s are all chiming in.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. Natalie Cole's family revealed her cause of death. This was on Thursday. She died of idiopathic pulmonary arterial hypertension, which led to her heart failure. Remember now, she had
high blood pressure?
Very high blood pressure and just a little bit of a heart issue as well. She got a kidney transplant in 2009, and then she was diagnosed with this. It's a rare lung disease, and it causes shortness of breath, dizziness, and chest pains.
Wow, sounds awful.
So, again, Natalie Cole, another one passing away way too young.
She was 65
62. Way too young.
Wow.
Caitlyn Jenner has canceled her speaking tour. I know you guys are disappointed about that. I had an upcoming 5-city speaking tour.
Dave is, because he likes her fashion tips.
Well, that could be true. Mm-hmm. Caitlyn Jenner is a very swanky dresser.
Very fashionable.
Tour was supposed to begin in February. It wasn't going to be in Chicago, Toronto, Vancouver, Denver, San Francisco, and Seattle, but those dates conflicted with yet another commitment. Get this, though. Tickets for this event? What would you think tickets to go see Caitlyn Jenner speak would be?
$100?
$500.
Ooh,
wow.
Steve would pay that.
Generous. That's a little, I don't get that.
That's crazy.
Anyhow, Golden Globes are on Sunday. This is definitely one of my favorite award shows of the year.
Was somebody running a juicer a second ago? What was
like a vacuum cleaner.
I don't know
what's up here in engineering, sorry.
Okay. Oh, it's Bob clean.
Bob's always vacuuming.
What is that?
Hey, Bob, can we not clean till this is, is that he outside the door?
It's so hot in here, I had to open the door.
All right, it's fine. I'll deal with it. What's next?
All right, Golden Globes are on Sunday. I think, you know, we're not going to see too many surprises, although Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who either wins or is nominated every year for Veep, Lily Tomlin's expected to give her kind of a strong run. Best Picture, though, is going to really be up in the air. Carol, The Leonardo DiCaprio film is going to be up.
Revenant.
Yeah, speaking of Carol, I got to tell you something funny. What Cate Blanchett,
yeah,
Academy Award-winning actress, one of the greats. She and Rooney Mara both up for Carol on Sunday. She was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and Jimmy Kimmel saying, you know, this is such a fun award show because this is where all the celebrities get to eat, drink, and kind of hang out together. And this is what Cate Blanchett's response was.
It's like a mosh pit, actually. It gets very sweaty down there. There's tables. It's like if there's not enough ketchup on your table, you literally lean and get DiCaprio's ketchup from the table behind. You're all very tightly packed. It's quite sweaty.
It's quite sweaty. But is that a wild night with celebrities stealing ketchup from each other's tables?
Apparently so. And then, of course, he asked her about going to the ladies' room, you know, with the Trump-Hillary comment and everything. And she said that's actually where most of the gossip and most of the dish happens, is they're in the ladies' room.
It's probably a pretty good bathroom situation there.
Boy, no kidding. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess the best pictures, also Martian, Mad Max, and Trainwreck is actually... for Best Motion Picture Music. You know, they have these crazy categories like Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy and then Drama.
French Foreign Press?
Hollywood Foreign Press.
Oh, that was French. Okay.
Yeah, the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Okay.
Game of Thrones, Season 6 is coming back. Game of Thrones, they set the date. It's going to begin April 24th.
I don't watch it.
I don't either. We were talking also, too, about this Making a Murderer. Have you watched that at all?
I haven't watched it. I mean, I've read more about it than almost any show since The Sopranos.
So
I've watched the first couple.
What do you think?
Well, it's good, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's not as great as everybody says, I don't think.
Yeah, I wonder what the hook is.
Binge watch a little of it on, it really took off. I'm going to try and binge watch it this weekend. Now, Discovery Channel has another offshoot, Investigation Discovery, and they're now taking on Making a Murderer, questioning whether it, in fact, left out critical information. Because this is developing such a following. 300,000 people signing this online petition asking that the murderer in this, Stephen Avery, be pardoned.
Isn't this... a small town in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
that's Manitowoc County. Mm-hmm.
We've either got corrupt small town Wisconsin guy or people involved in corruption trying to put this guy away, who was, by the way, wrongfully convicted before.
Yes.
So that's one of the reasons that this is sympathetic. Or the TV producers have ginned this up.
I don't know, though. You know, after the whole Glinowitz investigation. I think I'm pretty much open to anything anytime someone wants to question something. And I know this is really, I know, Steve, I wanted to save this for last for you. Our friend Ronda Rousey, I say friend very loosely.
One of the worst guests ever on the show.
If you want to get she was body painted for a Sports Illustrated.
What is it, a tiger, a leopard? What is it?
It looks like a snow leopard. This was, Dave, what is it? It was body painted on
Ronda Rousey. Eyes on the leopard are her boobs? Is that what
the deal is? Yeah, I think that they were strategically placed. Well, is the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue still as big as it once was?
No. Still interesting, but I like it for the articles.
I think they make 40% of their advertising dollars on that issue alone.
For SI? Oh, I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
But as far as culturally big, no.
Yeah.
No, you can see naked women all over the internet.
Except they promote the models more, I think. That's become a bigger thing. They're on the talk shows. And
yeah, that's true.
Ronda Rousey was body painted. It is a tiger-themed suit, and now that is just flying off store shelves.
Oh, you can buy the swimsuit?
You can buy it, yeah.
Not body paint.
It's actually a real swimsuit that they're calling the Fighter.
Dave, you'd look good in this. Well, how much is it?
$255.
I'd buy that for you, Dave.
That's okay. It's not my color.
Well, it comes in all sorts of colors.
Dave, I think Dana would look great in that.
You'd be tiger. You'd be arr. Oh, wow, wow, growl.
Go Cats.
You guys have to make another bet soon. I could see Anna wearing that.
No, I can't.
Nice job. Is that
that's
everything?
Your showbiz news for today.
There you go. There's your roundup. Let's do this. Quick break, and then we'll come back with your big story as Andrea continues to do most of the heavy lifting on 720 WGN. Pete Townsend yesterday. He goes, Steve, how can you play so much of our music? And I said, well, Coach Q loves you. And then he hung up on me. It seems he's not a big enough hockey fan, but I'm working on him. Coach Q loves the Who, and we love Coach Q. It's all sponsored by Hooters. Yeah, it's a way of life. And it's the original wing joint. At 8:43, the finest coach in all of professional sports and a handsome devil with a mustache, Coach Joel Quenneville. Good morning, buddy.
Morning.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Did you make midnight?
We got home just around 2 o'clock, so past it, yeah.
So you had midnight on the plane?
We're in the air, yeah.
Yeah. Any celebration of any kind?
No. Well, even though we had a great win, but it was kind of business-like.
Sounds like a heck of a party. Sorry I missed it. Halfway point of the season is always a line of demarcation for us, the people that talk about it. Is the halfway point in the season a big deal to you for any reason?
Well, I think it's a good measuring stick. You can reflect back and know what areas where you want to improve and look at how we win and then basically get a pretty good assessment of your team, and then you look knowing that you got to get better in the second half. But I liked our first half. I thought we had some good stretches, and the best part probably how we went into the end of the half. So it was a good progression to our team game, and we want to continue to build on it because I think that we're showing some good signs of having more balanced throughout our lineup.
Well, we're obviously focused on Panarin. We're focused on the run that Kaner had. But in this last stretch of wins, who's your key guy? Who's the guy that's kind of spurred it?
I'm going to say it's shared by a lot of guys, and I think that I think our goaltending is definitely the most important part of always keeping things in together in your team, and our defense is improving. I think we've we got pairs that can all play, and they're getting more minutes. Gustafson coming up, I think, helped us get some more puck possession to our game, and. I think you can look across the board, but I'm just thinking we got the one line that's been very effective for us as well with Phil Deneau and Thébault playing with them as well with Desjardins, and that line's been really good for us too. So there's been some things that have added to the mix, and I think that's been a progression that we like.
What has Anisimov brought to you?
Oh, he's been good for us. I mean, he's brought everything you'd hope for. Gives us some offense, gives us a big centerman. Defensively responsible. Now he's killing penalties. We've been on the first unit without Krug's around. Helps your power play. Has a great net front presence. Knows when to distribute the puck to the guys that are pretty fancy with it. So it's been a perfect fit in a need position for us. And I think he's delivered us that consistency of having a 1-2 center that can play and can play top minutes as well.
Joel, getting back to Crawford, this has been kind of a discussion point around town the last couple of days. The fact that he is not going to the All-Star game, I understand with the format they can only take two guys from each division. But you think he deserved a little more consideration?
For sure. When I look back at what he's accomplished, you look at there's now 8 goalies going. You have to think that his chances of being there were enhanced as well. So, you could argue, I mean, Crosby's not there, and there's some omissions this year that might look a little different.
Yeah, because of the format.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is, that's what it is, and, you know, Dunk's not going. So there's some... there's not as many guys that can be selected as well with every team needed to be represented. And so I think that's definitely the factor.
Are there guys, and you obviously don't have to say who, and I know you wouldn't, but are there guys that need an arm put around them if they feel snubbed at a time like that? Do you have to have a sense of that as a coach?
Very good question. I think that certain guys may. I don't think they're on our team.
Good. Well, I'd like to hear that. This run that these Blackhawks have been on lately, which is fun for all of us, kind of highlights the stories that we mentioned from the first half. But then there's a couple others that maybe have been sneaking under the radar, like Brent Seabrook. Brent Seabrook, has he ever been a more offensive defenseman than this year? What's he got, 17 assists or something? It's a crazy number.
Yeah, it all starts with a shot, and I think this year he made a great play on a breakout the other day in back-to-back games where he led guys on breakaways, exiting our own zone on long passes, and And but I think he really helps generate some offense with our power play with his shot. And I think even in 5-on-5, his shot is as hard as there is around the game. And he's getting it through. And we're really makes an addition to our threat off the rush and even in zone with his one-timer. So it's been offensively, he's been real good. Defensively, he's been sound. And so he's had a real good start to the season.
And why is the power play so much better? Threats, intimidation, no ice cream after the game?
Two units. Both can score when both get consideration to start. So there's some balance, some competition there. You got Siebes loading it up. You got, you know, Kaner's patience, Panarin patience and shots. So that unit's real good shape. And then you got Johnny and Hoss and Tavo and the group on the next unit that does a lot of things with traffic in the net. So I think with both units having the net front presence, different entries, different options, different looks, I think the it's tough for them to key on one certain way of defending it, and I think that unpredictability has been healthy for us.
We were talking about how much fun it is to watch Panarin play with a big smile on his puss the entire game, whether he's scoring 4 goals in 2 nights or not. But it seems like what you said last time you and I talked is really coming true. I mean, he's yakking it up on the bench now. He must be picking up a lot of English, or the guys he's talking to are doing that polite thing where they go, because it seems like he's talking a bunch.
Yes, he's getting a little bit more involved in as far as at least responding with the one word. I'm not 100% sure he understands everything, but he is a very likable guy. He's always smiling. He's having fun. He loves it here. He loves the game. I think he likes his line mates as well. So it's been a great fit for him, and can't help but like the guy. And I think that every time I do talk to him now, there's a little bit more of a response or definitely a clearer understanding that I think he's starting to get it more with without having to go through the interpreter.
What do you expect from Buffalo tonight? I know I think that was the 6-on-3 game, wasn't it, last time when you played them up there?
Yeah, it was a dangerous opponent then, and right now we're playing a very dangerous team because they're angry and they're not happy, and they're, you know, I think they've made some significant progression to their game over the last year or so. We expect a very challenging night tonight. Don't think this is going to be I think we got to have the same mindset we had the other night against Pittsburgh, where we're angry when we come into the game, and be ready because you know, we're coming off one of our better games, and you have some success. You don't want to get comfortable and assume anything.
You mentioned the interpreter. Who's the interpreter now for Panarin?
Well, Anisimov is the it'd be the one on the bench. He's the only Russian that we have now.
Right. I don't know. I think we got to talk to Rocky and McDonough. Let's pop for a guy that could just, you know, skate tandem skate with.
But I don't even think he needs one because I think he got a pretty good understanding.
Yeah, we talked about that, too, about how he knows more than he claims. So when you yell at him, he can just go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. In Russian. Selective hearing.
So I hope you had a good start to your new year. We're almost a week and a half in. But the fun now, it's nothing but fun for us. But the run continues with a couple games at the Madhouse this weekend. So get them both, will you?
All right. We'll go give it our best.
Nice talking to you, Coach. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, man. That's Coach Joel Quenneville. Very focused this morning.
Yeah, he's red.
Locked in, man. Laser.
Face on. Ready to go.
Ready to rock.
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Talk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Sponsored by Freshway. Remember their slogan? If it smells funky like the wrong end of a monkey, you need Freshway.
I don't think that's really.
They're also the slogan. Official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, okay. That's probably better. What happened to little Katie? Did you anger her? Because she doesn't ask you what the phrase is anymore.
Contract dispute.
So we're in talks?
Yeah, we're in talks.
Okay. Oh, good.
All right, Dave, what's today's Hawkopedia phrase, word, or sentence?
Coach's challenge.
Coach's challenge.
Something new this year at the NHL. And still meeting with somewhat mixed results. There was another one in last night's LA Kings-Toronto game. Toronto challenged whether the Kings interfered with the Maple Leafs goaltender on an L.A. goal in the third period. After review, it was determined there was no interference. The goal stood. The failed challenge cost the Leafs their timeout. This is not unusual these days in the NHL. It's the first year of the coach's challenge. Team may challenge in a couple of situations, basically possible offsides before a goal is scored, or when there might have been interference on the goaltender prior to a goal being scored, as was the case last night. It remains somewhat controversial. Obviously, if your team has a goal overturned, you're not a big fan, or if your team loses a challenge. Plus, just like other video reviews, it sometimes does delay the goal celebration. But the challenge rule does appear here to stay, and it's possible other challenges will eventually be allowed.
The coach's challenge.
The coach's challenge.
And now you know. I shall be.
That's our Hawkopedia.
Sponsored by Freshwave. What's that? That's the new slogan for Freshwave. Isn't that right, Kevin? Isn't that the slogan?
Close, but they're also the official deodorizer of Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay.
Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks.
Whatever.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
All right.
9/11. Steve Cochran. CES is one of the hottest shows in Vegas every year. This is the Consumer Electronics Show, and it's all the gadgets, all the cool stuff. I don't know what the percentages of stuff that you see there that eventually gets to market online in retail stores, things of that nature. It can't be that high.
Probably
but it's
not.
All the cool stuff.
It's like the concept cars, you know, at the auto show.
Yeah. Yeah,
cool stuff.
They make one of 100, maybe. Joining us on the phone, CNET News Executive Editor Roger Chang, and you can follow him at Roger W. Chang. Let me go to Roger now. Good morning, Roger. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Are you live in Vegas?
I am live in Vegas, indeed.
All right. What time's the doors open today?
Doors are open in about, I'll say, an hour or so. We'll go head over myself shortly.
And the coolest thing you've seen so far is?
Coolest thing I've seen so far is a virtual reality system. It's not necessarily new. It had some minor improvements, but it still kind of blew me away.
Is this the Oculus or something else?
It's not the Oculus, actually. It's surprising. It's the other system. It's one made by HTC, which is a phone maker, and Valve, the video game company. And it's a whole room VR system. It actually allows you to get up from a chair, walk around, and interact with a full VR world.
Well, we know that virtual reality is key to high-end law enforcement, military operations, NASA. The words virtual reality have been around for, I remember the 70s and 80s. When I was a kid hearing about VR. But now VR, maybe, you tell me, maybe on the cusp of becoming part of the regular world?
Yeah, on the cusp is probably a good way to put it. It's a little bit too expensive at this point, even for this coming year. A lot of people are talking about VR or 2016 as the year of VR because a lot of these products are coming out and you will actually be able to buy them. But the fact is they're extremely expensive. The Oculus system is about $600. This HD system I tried, they haven't given a price yet, but I suspect it'll be even more expensive. And what they don't really tell you is, beyond buying this headset, you've got to buy like a high-end gaming PC as well, which could run you another $1,000. So not exactly mainstream. If you're a real hardcore or tech gadget enthusiast, this is for you.
Roger, I want to ask you about some of the smart items, too. I know the smart fridges are really taking off, and then the smart bras, too.
I haven't had a chance to try on the smart bra.
Yeah, I want to know how those are
Roger,
off the shelves.
Allow yourself to be a pretty girl and put one on, will you?
You know what? That's exactly why I budgeted time for Friday. That's all about smart bras today. I will tell you, the fridges are actually kind of amazing. I think they captured a lot of people's attention on day one because, you know, LG had one where if you knock on it, the front fridge door actually goes transparent, so you can see what's inside. And then Samsung came out with a fridge, a hub that, frankly, is smarter than me. I mean, it's got cameras in it. It'll tell you whether or not you're running out of milk. It's connected to the rest of your home. It's crazy smart.
Let me ask you a question. In a country that's already too fat, shouldn't we get up, get to the refrigerator, and check ourselves?
Yes, unless you're at the supermarket and you need,
need
more milk. You could actually ask your fridge. It'll snap a photo inside the what's inside and tell you or let you know whether or not you need milk or anything else.
It's actually got an optional attachment. Does this look spoiled to you, where you put it under some sort of special lighting so you don't have to sniff it?
Or it sniffs it for you and says, oh, exactly. Two more days.
Yeah.
The smart fridges, are they at a commercial cost level yet, or is it like anything new in tech? It's too expensive right now.
Oh, no. The Samsung fridge is $5,000. So,
oh, yeah. Great.
Clearly for the average Joe. But, you know, this is like a lot of stuff at CES, and I think you made the point. I mean, most of this stuff that gets shown off either never goes to market, or if it does, in a very limited way, and is extremely expensive. This is all, it's a lot of concepts. It's a lot of ideas that give us models that give us an idea of where things are going in the future.
Speaking of where things are going, the connected car is a big topic, and it's something we're all over in regards to where radio is going as well, because in the foreseeable future, you're going to get a new car, and in the new car, it's going to look like a Tesla looks now, where the center console's a computer screen, like a large iPad sort of screen, and you'll be able to have presets for radio stations and things like that, but also for websites and all of that. What are you seeing there for the connected car?
Yeah, I mean, connected cars, that was a huge trend here. Cars in general was a huge trend at CES. It's almost like another auto show here. You know, one of the biggest trends is getting the idea of adding a connection, a cell connection to the car. You know, Ford is partnering with AT&T to make sure that all of its cars over the next few years will get a cell connection. You know, right now, sort of the basic capabilities are being able to do, you know, remotely start your car, adding in a Wi-Fi hotspot in your car so you can actually, you know, run your iPad.
Yeah, Chevy does it now. I use it fairly regularly.
Yeah, and so that's, I mean, those are sort of the immediate practical benefits you're seeing. I think down the line, like you pointed out, you know, large displays, the car being able to actually talk to the dealership to know whether or not it needs to be serviced and to actually schedule an appointment for you. Having all that sort of automated for you is what people are talking about right now.
The entertainment system in the car, though, just by way of logic, has to have limits. Because unless you're in a driverless car, you can't be watching streaming video while you drive. That's why most cars have those fail-safe systems where they won't even let you punch in a new navigation if you're lost unless the car stops moving. So
yeah.
What are they saying about that?
Well, you know, these systems have, you know, a lot of these systems are put into the back of the driver's headrest. So a lot of the infotainment systems are actually in the back for the passengers. But yeah, there's I think safety is a big concern for a lot of these car companies, making these cars smarter, making sure these cars are smarter, but not distracting the driver. So, you know, you're seeing a lot more stuff on, voice commands, being able to sort of navigate without using your hands. It's, you know, it's a focus for the car companies.
Roger, everything's all things hoverboard right now, but I understand that there was one of the booths that was raided after a patent infringement claim by a different hoverboard company that's there.
Yeah. There was I didn't get a chance to see it. I read about it, but
he was looking for the smart bra.
He was looking for the smart bras, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's a crazy show. That is one of the crazier things that have happened, though, for sure.
The hoverboards, have you tried one?
No. Have you?
No, I've not. I mean, you know, they look like they should just be called the broken hip.
Or they should just be called, like, handless Segways, because that's really all they are.
Yeah, because I've been on a Segway. Segways are fun.
Yeah.
They're cool. But you've got a little bit of something to, you know, steady yourself with. I don't know. The hoverboard, is it a fad or is it going to stay?
I think it's a fad.
I think it's a fad, too. It's like a modern-day skateboard.
Yeah, with the ability to break your neck.
Right, and explode on you.
Plus, they're banning them at all the colleges now.
Are they?
They just did that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kids can't go back in spring break with their hoverboards. Christmas break, I mean.
Yeah, I don't see them showing up at grandma's nursing home, so if they start banning them at college.
Plus, they're so expensive.
How much are they?
They're about $500. You can get, I guess, an inexpensive one for about $3.
Well, definitely go lower cost with something like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the batteries are a little dangerous.
Give me the cheap gyroscope. Yeah, the batteries are blowing up on these,
right?
Yeah,
they start on fire.
Hey, kids, Get Mom to get you a hoverboard. That's our safety segment of the show. Roger, nice talking to you. Have fun on the last day of CES.
Thank you very much.
See you, that's Roger W. Cheng, C-H-E-N-G, and he is at Roger W. Cheng and also at CNET. It's 9:20.
You know he's going to try on the smart bras.
Of course he is.
Those are cool. It's instead of like having the Fitbit on your hand, which is still cool, too, because I have one of those. You have one, too. But the technology is in your bra, so it counts steps, monitors your heart rate, tells you how many calories you've consumed.
Yeah, and you just take it out then so you can obviously wash it.
Yeah. And then you can get different colors. But the question was, should it be like a little chip that's actually implemented? But no, it isn't yet. It's about $200 because you have to keep buying the different color bras.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the best sort of smart bra be a bra that custom fits itself? I've never known a woman in my life that doesn't say, I can't find a bra.
Well, yeah, you have to be properly fitted to find a bra.
But even if you're properly fitted, it doesn't mean that size will work because it's like other pieces of clothing, right? One size. Like, in other words, if you find a custom-fit bra made by somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you go and you buy that size from somebody else, it may not be the same size.
Yeah, that's correct. Women get screwed in sizes all the time.
Yeah.
Because you
too many things you're dealing with.
You see, men, when you buy clothes, your pants are, the length and then the width, right?
Well, it's waist and length.
Waist and length. Yeah. Ours are just, they say 6, 8, 10, 12. You know, you can have something that's a 6 and not have something that's a 12 and not fit into something that's a 14.
Right.
So they're crazy. The sizes are ridiculous.
The sports bras fit
very
small.
There's no consistency.
The sports bras are small?
Yeah. You always have to get a size bigger for the sports bras, I think. Anyway.
Yeah, if you're running again, that's good for you to know.
That is good. I'm also surprised they beat the Cochrane Breast Institute to this technology.
Well, we're working on a number of things. Yeah. I mean, we really are. The self-sizing bra is one of the things that we've had on the drawing board for a long time. A lot of our scientists have quit and went to Internet websites.
You know, that would be cool, though, to put the bra on, almost like remote control, and it just...
Yeah, as long as it doesn't close up too much on you.
Or maybe you want it to close up a little more. Give it a lift.
I'm telling you, I just invented a product and you didn't even know about it.
That is a good idea because they're so hard to get on and off when you're sweaty. Especially.
Well, but you hear Dave and I complain about the underwear.
That's
right. Same story for us. One's larger than the other. What are you going to do now? Come on. A couple of texters before we get to this New England Patriots story. These, again, are texts from the morning, all morning long. Weird things you've heard someone say while they were sleeping. 309, my wife announced, soup's on the kettle! Not sure if I thought she was on a cattle drive across Texas with Dean. 608, strangest words said in sleep by husband were, the pie's on the shelf, get the grasshoppers off the pie!
Isn't that weird when people eat before they go to bed, maybe, or drink?
773, my college roommate woke up and told me, time to water the flowers! I said, what flower? She said, the ones in the garden, and she pointed at the middle of the floor. Here's the thing. So often when somebody is sleep talking, they get angry with you because it's like, how do you not get the carnival in my head that's going on right now?
And then you start going, I'm sorry.
847, my son got up and sat on the stairs and started saying, why won't you people let me sleep?
Okay, that I can understand.
From the 630... my husband has had it difficult. At one point, I yelled at him to call 911 while I was performing CPR on a teddy bear. I think he's gone. Help me. Call 911. It's a teddy bear, honey. And one more. I would mumble my ex-boyfriend's name when we first got married. My husband would ask me next day who he is.
Oops.
No one?
Yeah, nobody. Nobody. You want one more? 847? Got up to use the bathroom until my mother screamed, get out of the closet! Not great. And one time I heard my daughter get in the shower at 2 o'clock in the morning, went in the bathroom and asked what she was doing, and she said, I'm getting ready for school. She was still asleep. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. By the way, she got fully dressed and went back to bed.
Have you done that, though, where you've gotten up on a weekend thinking, it's 3 o'clock in the morning? Got to get up.
The only time I did the full shower thing was before the internet, before cell phones in the 80s. I got up, took a shower, got in the car, and drove to work. And halfway to work, I saw one of those bank clocks spinning around. Never even checked the time. And it was 12:30 in the morning, 5 hours before I was on the air.
You know what's the worst, though? If you take a nap in the afternoon, I know you probably don't nap too often, but if I take a nap and it's, say, 3:30, or 4 o'clock and you get up.
You have no idea what time it is.
And especially if it's dark out in the wintertime.
This time of year, yeah.
Oh, it's bad.
Don't be judgmental of us on this show. You think we're this whacked? We're whacked because of the time we get up in the morning.
We're worse.
Nobody knows. The New England Patriots mascot has been nabbed in a prostitution sting. Do you think he wore the big Patriots helmet while he was out there picking up the ladies?
The tri-corner
hat. Yeah, the tri-corner hat thing. Thanks to a recently closed loophole, which made indoor prostitution illegal. So what, outdoor prostitution?
Yeah,
okay?
I don't get that.
I don't understand. Indoor prostitution was the loophole.
Yeah.
Outside prostitution was always illegal.
Yeah. I like how Steve looked at Dave and asked him that.
Yeah.
Well, Dave's my expert on this. Strange year for the Patriots. So the problem is this guy actually tried to pick up an undercover agent.
Mm.
Hey, I don't know if you know, but if I could get a discount, I'm the Patriots mascot.
Do you know who I am?
I could show you the giant foam head.
All right.
The tri-corner helmet.
Okay.
Well, talking about the uniform.
Right. Yeah.
But I still don't get the indoor-outdoor thing.
Well, he's versatile. He's able to work both venues.
Okay.
Like, you can't pick... Okay, I'm not going to...
It's 9:32.
You get it right.
9:32. Oh, still to come on the program, Jen Weigel. Our friend Jen Weigel will be in studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Thunder Island on the Steve Cochran Show, all-time top 10. Well, this isn't on the all-time top 10, but it's a good song. I got a whole list of new bumps, Kevin. Remind me to give those to you. Mostly the music of my people, but a couple of exceptions. It's 9:42. The lovely and talented Jennifer Weigel is here. Good morning to you.
How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I am very well.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How is your son?
Oh, he's great. He's 9. He's just growing too fast. And you'll know this now as a proud grandpa. It just goes like that. Next thing you know, she'll be driving.
It's probably inappropriate now. She's 3 weeks old. You know?
I mean, until she can hold the keys, you probably don't want to give her the keys.
Probably not great. Mm-hmm. Well, imagine, let's go 16 years down the road, mm-hmm. right? She'll probably never learn to drive.
Why?
Well, because 16 years down the road, it'll be a car.
Hoverboards, right?
Yeah. But it'll be this driverless car thing.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right.
So kids won't learn to drive.
No, I think we're going to go back old school to stick shifts. Because those electronic cars, they're going to get hacked so many times. People are going to not be driving their car because a computer 3 blocks down is going to be doing it. I think we'll go back old school. That's my hope.
You know Mike Judge, the guy that did Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill?
Yeah.
He has a show on HBO, a pretty successful series. I think it's called Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny show. It's all about tech nerds, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And it's scripted. But one of the scenes, either last season or the first season, was guy gets in the driverless car, the doors lock, he can't unlock them, it drives him onto a container, onto a ship, and he ends up in Japan or something. So, you know, because it's going to go where it wants to go. You're not driving. I'll never, however long God allows me to stay around, I will never be able to give up the control of driving the car.
Agreed. Yeah.
So, but
even parking, I don't want to give up that control. People say, there's an automatic parking on these
cars. Yeah, a lot of cars can park them.
Mm-mm.
But some people, I'd like to see some people in Chicago have that parking situation.
Yeah.
Because one of my favorite things is getting caught behind someone trying to parallel park. Like it's the hardest thing attempted by man.
Don't you want to just get out and do it for them?
Yeah.
I do.
I should just hit the car. I've got places to go. Just hit the car.
There are people, though, that parallel park who think the car in front and back are bumpers.
Right.
You know, guidelines for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I just ticked it. Yeah. What are you up to?
I got some stuff.
You got a show tonight?
Yeah, I have a show tonight. I have a show next week. There's like a couple shows happening, so I just wanted to...
Is this at your home venue?
No, Wilmot Theater is on January 19th. That's my one-woman show, Spiritual, Damn It. But
I'm Spiritual, Damn It!
That's right. We're bringing it back. But tonight is the Manhattan medium, Thomas John. We're going to be at the Biograph Victory Gardens Theater, and... there are still tickets left. I just checked with the box office, but we've been on the road. We've been taking the show on the road.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, this gentleman, he's 31, and I interview him for the first hour and ask all the questions that the audience might be thinking as a skeptic, like, okay, you say you can talk to dead people, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets up and does his thing for the next hour and leaves the audience gasping. I mean, gasping. Did you hear what happened to Patty Vasquez?
I did not.
So he was talking to Patty and brought up the name of somebody who had passed in her family that she never talks about. And I was sitting next to her, and I saw her, like, double over, almost like she got knocked out, like the wind got knocked out of her. She was so shocked because she said, this is something I don't talk about. He couldn't have Googled this.
Nobody knows him.
Nobody knows this. Nobody knows the name. And so, yeah, it took a minute. I was talking, like, doing a little tap dancing, like, so, caller number four. But
well, we should say, too,
powerful.
We should say, too, that this is something that you were really skeptical about till your dad, Tim, died.
Right.
And that led to the first book and led to this, like, whole new thing in your life.
Yeah, but here's the other thing about that. I'm still a journalist, and what I think bothers me a lot about the comments I get in social media or on my website, jenwengel.com, are people who judge me based on the title of a book or, oh, Jen's interviewing a medium, she's gone off the deep end again. Like, they don't get that I still am. They call me, like, woo-woo weird and all these things. A lot of journalists say
Stop
I've lost my
comments.
Integrity. No, but, I mean, even people, colleagues, people I've worked with, they judge a book by its cover instead of digging into it to realize what it is.
I believe, and I don't know how you can't believe, that some people mm-hmm. are more in touch psychically than others.
Well, this has been going on for thousands of years.
Exactly.
Back to the Bible, in the Old Testament, people are writing about, I mean, I actually had a Roman Catholic priest tell me that there are parts of the Bible that talk about people seeking information from mediums to get answers. And yet I have people who, you know, worship the Bible today who tell me I'm going straight to the inferno because I'm having a conversation with a medium.
It's not true. If you go to hell, it'll be for other reasons.
Oh, you know that.
You know, so when my father passed away, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody was so wonderful, and you including everybody, Jen. Mm-hmm. Jen came and signed a really nice message, a wonderful message to me, gave me your book, mm-hmm. and I loved it. And you're a great writer, too.
Oh, thank you.
Well, but here's the difference between the people you talk to and the people you see on TV and some of the pop culture mediums. For instance, the Long Island, is it the Long Island Medium?
Yeah,
the Long Island, whatever.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I was talking about this the other day. I don't have any problem with what she does as a TV show because she makes everybody feel better.
Right.
But she's no more in touch than I am.
Correct.
Because I can sit down with you with a very minimal knowledge of you that you could fill in some biographical card.
Right.
And if I know how to ask the right questions, mm-hmm. I can certainly play that guessing game and get it right.
Right.
But the people you've talked to, who we've had on the show at different times or whatever, mm-hmm. it's a different level. That's a different level of connectivity.
Well, that's the thing, and I tell people I'm a skeptic first, and then when I'm blown away and I hear the audience gasp, like with what happened with Patty on the air, with Thomas, it's not like, oh, there's a woman behind you. I think she's a grandma. She's sending love. Everybody's got a dead grandma, okay? Yeah. With jewelry that they've given you. Okay, stop it. Next. Yeah. But he's like, Helene is here. She says she loves the footy pajamas that you wore at her funeral. Like, what?
Right.
You know,
that's
the kind of stuff where you kind of go, okay, I know he doesn't have a computer out, and I know he didn't, you know, search that, and I know that he doesn't have any little microphone in his ear whispering the answers, because it's just not possible. So I get that people are skeptical. I am one of those people, but I think that it's really important to push the envelope and challenge your belief systems, because intolerance and ignorance are what causes every argument and every war on this planet.
And stop being so judgmental.
Yeah.
If you don't want to buy into it, you don't believe in it, then don't.
You know what? If you come and you don't like the show and then you want to write me a comment, cool.
Yeah, right.
But if you just hear a headline, Jen Wengel's totally interviewing a medium at the Biograph Theater, and then you go off on me, shame on you. Get off your couch, put down your laptop, and go do something with your life instead of just get mad at me.
Can we get Thomas to find out something about the dead people and those people's lives and then just start texting them?
Oh, yeah.
It's your Uncle Phil. Why didn't you come to the wake?
Actually, that happened after the interview with Patty. Thomas texted me and said, you know, this person is still hanging out with me, LOL. Shall I tell him to leave?
Wow. Well, that's pretty funny, because he was asking Patty, like, you know him better than I do, even if you don't talk about him. Wow.
I'm like, wow, that's a problem. That's a cool party trick, but that's a problem.
That is a cool party trick. Hang around a second. More with Jen Wengel coming up. And people want to find out about what you're doing and when you're doing it. Website?
JenWengel.com.
Good one.
Yeah.
How do you spell Weigel?
W-E-I-G-E-L. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, it always helps.
Mm-hmm.
More in a moment on 720 WGN. Fifty-three, Steve Cochran Show, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, show number 561. Dave, I don't think I told you, on Monday, Lou Piniella will be on.
Oh, very good.
Lou, of course, was Ken Griffey Jr.'s manager.
Mm-hmm.
And 7:10 Monday morning, we'll reconnect with Lou. I haven't talked to Lou in months.
Really?
Oh, Kerry Wood will be on Monday as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so
good.
Woody. And I think Wood's on with Roe today, I think, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah. more of their friend Jen Weigel. All right, so you talked about the show tonight. What else are you doing?
Like I said, I'm doing my one-woman show again at the Wilmette Theater, January 19th.
Well, we should focus on selling tickets for tonight, then.
Well, yeah, tonight for sure. That would be lovely. We still have tickets available, and it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's just a different way to spend a Friday night. You have a conversation. Even the husbands and boyfriends that are dragged there kicking and screaming by their girlfriend or wife,
they like it.
They tell me afterwards, that was really cool. Thank you for that. I walked away not just thinking, oh, a guy got up and talked to dead people, but there's a really kind of in-depth conversation that leads into it, so that's always a nice thing.
Plus, there's a good chance if a guy goes, he'll get lucky when he gets home, too. So it's a win-win. He opens his mind to other things, and then later on, it's a big night for him.
There you go. So there you go. Act enthusiastic, guys.
So you mentioned the first part is an interview.
Yes.
And then the questions, are they pre-chosen, or you get to as many as you can?
Oh, no. Yeah. We open a Q&A to the audience, and then he stands up and just barks what he hears. Yeah, for like an hour.
Really?
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Is it physically tiring for him?
So when he first started, he's been able to apparently tap into this since he was about 4. And he said when we first started doing readings when he was 19, 20, 21, he said he blew up to about 300 pounds because he was feeling the grief of all these people. And so then he would self-soothe with food. And he really went down a path of like, I got to learn how to deal with this. So he worked with other mentors.
That's a lot of noise in your head.
Yeah, and then kind of got a way to kind of basically put up boundaries. So now he relays the information almost so completely neutrally that it comes off crass in a way. You know, a lady's like, that must be me. He's like, nope, not you, sorry. Fourth row.
Wow.
She's like, but my Bobby. He's like, no, wrong Bobby. It's you. Like, he's really adamant when he sees that.
Well, he's locked in.
Yeah, he's locked in. And people are kind of trying to flail around and say it's them. And
sit down, lady. No. It's like, not your Bobby.
Yeah. He's like, no, sorry. Later.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, not really funny for them, but funny for me.
And how many cities are you doing?
Well, we're going to be hitting the Dells coming up on the 22nd. We're going to Rockford on the 28th. We're going to Libertyville on the 24th.
All right, so all over the greater Midwest.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
So it is cool. It's fun. And
do
then,
you have tour jackets?
No, but if anybody would like to help us in that department,
sure.
I wouldn't mind a little Letterman's jacket.
Hey, how'd the Billy Corgan show go?
Oh, it was great. Conversations with Billy. That was, Conversations with Weigel is what I do up at the theater. And
yeah.
It was fascinating. 2 hours. That's on my website, too. The podcast is up there. So, yeah, I'm having a good time up at the Wilmette Theater doing shows. I'm having a great time doing other shows. I've been my production company's back in business, so I've been busy.
It's been
a good thing.
You are busy.
Staying busy is good.
Happy New Year. A few tickets left tonight. Get them while you can. And what do you do to get tickets?
VictoryGardens.org you can go to, or JenWeigel.com. I have to say, by the way, Dave Ennett, it's so awesome to see you and say hello at the Northwestern game this week.
Go, 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 Cats.
He was working, and I was one of those dork, like you'd think I'm not in the media or broadcasting when you know somebody's about to go on the air. I'm like, Dave, hi, hi. I tapped him on the back, and he gave me this look like panic, like, I'm going on the air, lady.
No, I don't think I looked like that. I felt bad because I couldn't really acknowledge you. I turned around, I saw Jen, and I'm getting the cue to
And then he did his cue. And I had this moment of, oh, dear goodness, Jennifer, you've been out of it a little too long. You should know better.
Why don't you incorporate her in the broadcast?
Well, that's a good idea. Next time, you come in next week?
On Tuesday?
For
Madison?
Wisconsin?
I'd love to come. Yeah. Got to scrounge up some tickets. You know a guy? You know a guy for some tickets?
Let's get Jen some tickets.
Yeah?
I think we could probably make that happen.
Hold on. I'm getting a vision of you getting tickets.
Oh, God, wait a second. Are you tapping into your intuition?
I tapped into something.
Front row.
Great to see you. You look fabulous. And the website again is?
JenWeigel.com or VictoryGardens.org.
All right. And don't forget about the Wilmette Theater stuff. You're returning there in a couple of weeks.
January 19th.
January 19th. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Wendy next, 720 WGN. 10 o'clock. Bill and Wendy are here. What are you guys up to?
Friday.
Are you doing the Friday song?
I love Fridays.
I'm just going to sing Rebecca Black songs all through today's show. Yeah.
Whatever happened to her?
She's still immensely popular. Very, very popular.
I'm being told Secretary General of the UN.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, that's what she does now.
I'm just kind of surprised.
Yes.
Andrea Shirley Temple Black.
Oh,
that's who it is. That's who it is.
So close. Andrea saw the Star Wars movie.
Oh, finally. And? Bill, I couldn't leave the theater at the end.
You couldn't?
I was crying and crying.
Oh, I thought because the seats get
like
sticky
a baby.
Sometimes.
No, because I was just like...
It's not a hostage
situation. No, I was like, it's here, and I saw it, and then the ending, and I was just... My friend, my friend who I went and saw it with, she said, are you PMSing?
Oh.
I said, no, but... And then we
I think we were all surprised that Ruth Buzzy dies at the end.
People haven't seen it yet.
Premenstrual Star Wars? Is that what PMSing is?
That's what it means.
When I was trying to explain that Jimmy Mack does the world's biggest Star Wars podcast, and I couldn't begin to tell people where to find it, so I said, just Google it. Where do people find it?
WGNplus.com. It's Rebel Force Radio, and we run it, too.
I didn't know where to run it as well.
Uh-huh.
There's so many things I want to talk to him about.
I'll give you his home number.
Oh, and Star Wars, too. But
it'll be hard to twist his arm to get him to talk about it, but you can, I guess.
He's seen it, I think, 6 times, did I say
already? Wow, yeah.
I loved it. I really did.
What's it like when your husband can go, look, it's work. I got to go see it again.
It's not work. I'm jealous that he can just take his passion and make a living at it.
And he's amazed that it keeps ending the same way. Come on, the same thing happened at the end this time as last time.
We were talking about this earlier. Either we were all surprised that Judge Judy was the bad guy.
Yeah, but she's really good.
Enough with the spoilers, man.
She's got a great agent, because to get her in there, man.
What a shock how good she is.
I don't know if you guys talk in your sleep, but we've been taking texts about this all morning.
They've been funny.
From the 847, my husband is Ukrainian, and about a month after we were married, I heard him talking in his sleep in Ukrainian. I didn't understand the language. I did think about recording him and then taking it to his cousin to translate, and then I went back to sleep. many years ago, my little brother was sleeping. Dad and I were watching TV from the bedroom. We hear he moves down the ice, passes to, hey, shoots, he scores! He never woke up the entire time.
Didn't you bite your wife in your sleep?
Yeah, I did a few weeks ago.
Is that the thing where you pretend you're sleeping?
Wait. No, it was legit.
I've told you about this before. It's the weirdest foreplay ever, man.
Wait, can we ask where?
The arm.
Oh, okay.
I held her. I was asleep, and I grabbed her arm, and then I started biting her arm, and she woke me up. She didn't want her arm to be bit, evidently.
Why didn't she just slap you in the head? That's what I would have done.
That's what she normally does, and then I let her sleep for 11 more minutes.
The amazing thing about when you're sleeping and you're talking to sleep is the nonsensical segues, right?
Right.
Last one, 630. My wife told me, Coach, there's too many players on the field. We'd better go down the basement so we can get off the boat.
Well, that's just code.
Wow.
Right?
Jim laughs in his sleep every night. Every night. I wonder what he's dreaming about.
He's having a good time. Whatever it is. Bill and Wendy's here. See you Monday. Coach, Lou Piniella, 710 Monday morning.